Disc jockey.
Excuse me.
Whatever.
This ain't New York, this the Bronx.
Say what?
You have passed.
Hi, everybody. What's up, you guys? How are thou? I am here. You're here. We're here, right? And I'm grateful to be here. I'm in the building. First of all, you guys, I love you very much, as always. Thank you for your love and support. Thanks for vibing with me. I always encourage you guys too, like, you know, there's always ways to send me questions, feedback, anything you want to, any topic specifically. If you have a topic you want me to touch on, you're welcome to send me requests there. And if not, you can always contact me at nclark@shesexyhoodandeducated.com. So this is the way you heard it. But yeah, you guys, what's going on? First of all, let me tell you something. I woke up and it is freezing in New York. I mean, freezing. And I don't know why I do this, but like at night, right before I go to sleep, my heat in here kicks up crazy. Sometimes I gotta open the window, like just crack it a little bit so I can get some air ventilated, like I got some air and shit. And then I do that shit knowing that if I don't close it back and actually do fall asleep, like lights out, go to sleep, I'm gonna wake up in the morning and I'm gonna be freezing. And that's exactly what the fuck happened this morning, all right? 17 degrees, my nigga, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? That's a real problem. I wish y'all could have seen me, man. I woke up like, what the fuck? Why the fuck is it so cold in here? Bitch, you know why it's so cold. You got the fucking window open. So yeah, that whole part, right? Yeah. Okay, guys. So I'ma just keep it a buck with you. This is gonna be a very probably, and I'm trying to condense it as much as possible, but because, you know, I just talk my talk, I don't know how limited this fucking episode gonna be. I might have to make it and split it in parts. I don't know, we'll see how it goes. I don't do dry runs. I don't, y'all know this, I'm just letting people know who might be first time listeners, like there's nothing scripted here. I don't go and rehearse and nigga, I get motivated and I go. So that's it. So you will definitely hear stuttering and fucking bloopers and all kind of other mistakes, right, that happens, because in the real world, when you authentic, mistakes happen. Everything ain't picture perfect, and I will never try to sell you that. At least coming from me, I ain't gonna ever sell you that I'm some picture perfect. Look at me right now, son. Picture perfect, bitch. Picture perfect person. So yeah, and I think most of y'all fuck with me because of that, right? It's like, and I appreciate y'all for that, because we definitely live in a world that's very superficial and influenced by fake shit, like that picture perfect fake shit, and you won't catch that here. So yeah, welcome if you're new. Okay, also in addition to that, you guys, I was checking out, and you know this, I do this periodically, I check out what's going on with the podcast, as far as, you know, the statuses and who I'm reaching, where this podcast is being heard the most and shit like that. And you guys, I'm so proud of myself, right? And this is why I tell people, and it's okay to be proud of you too, because people are trying to make you feel like you're not supposed to big yourself up. Like, nigga, fuck you, because you probably, the nigga probably telling you you shouldn't big yourself up is definitely not clapping for you. So if I don't support me first, who the fuck am I expecting to support me? So yeah, I always go within first and recognize the growth that I've had, and I'm so very grateful and thankful for where I've actually taken this platform. It's insane when I think about where I started from that very first episode. It might have aired March 2020, but if you hear it, it's dated from November 2019. So from there to where we are now, like, go, 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 right? But yeah, so I'm going back and I'm looking at shit. And you guys, amazing. Like, I'm just so grateful. All together now, I got 43 states that have tapped in to my podcast, and that's amazing. Considering we only got 50, right? We got 50 states and United States. Ain't like I forget y'all. I'm smoking, I'm pulling, all right? Ain't trying to die talking to y'all because I choked on some smoke, all right? But yeah, shout out to me for that. In addition to that, I now have 65 international countries that's tapped in as well. So that in itself is fucking huge. Round of applause for Code. Now, this is the shit that had me like, get the fuck out of here. With those 43 states, you guys, my top three states, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, it hasn't changed. The order has not changed. California is still my number one state that listens to me. Then comes Ohio, right? Cleveland in the building. And then it's my hometown, New York. So I'm like, damn, California shows me mad love. Status-wise, statistically, on this podcast, everybody shows me love, but they are, in the United States, the top state that listens to me. So shout out to you guys. Like, I literally look at the places in California, and y'all know this to be a fact. Like, Cole does not travel. I'm not one of those that been here, go there. I don't do that, all right? Or at least Spirit said to say, I haven't done that yet. All right, Spirit. Yeah. I haven't done that yet, right? You know, I only been on a plane twice in my life, and that was 2021. And that shit was there and back type shit, okay? But there are places in California that I don't even know. I didn't even know was places in California. Like, where's this? Shout out to Inglewood, too, because they just started listening to your girl. So, what's up? I mean, yeah, I'm just so very grateful, right? And then I picked up, which, of course, I'm going to give acknowledge to, my latest country that's tapped in. Shout out to you, Ethiopia, in the fucking building. Yes, thank you, Boz. Appreciate the love, and I hope that you guys enjoy the segments and you stay a while. You know, it's always something going on with me, always talking about some shit. But yeah, I want to first give recognition there, and I'm pretty psyched about that, you guys. The last time I spoke to y'all, I think Ecuador had joined the team, and now we got Ethiopia, and you know, again, I would have never thought when I started this, much of anybody would have listened, you know, let alone international countries. So that says a lot about who I am, too. So I say that to say, my nigga, never count yourself out. Never think you too small or insignificant, or nobody's gonna listen. If you destined, or you're guided, or you have a passion for something, get that shit done. Fuck the naysayers, you heard? You know what I'm saying? Even if nobody vibe with it, if you like it, that's what matters type shit, you know? All right, let me just jump into this shit right now. Because you already know. It's about to go down. Alrighty. Yeah, I'm drinking my coffee. You know I got my coffee on deck. If not, the tea. But I need a coffee this morning, so. Alright, here we go. I'm pretty sure you guys already know this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But, you know, last time I spoke to you guys, we were discussing how Rihanna's pregnant, and we congratulated her. And, you know, well wishes for her in a healthy and safe delivery. When that time comes, shout out to her soon-to-be husband, ASAP Rocky, because they did state in an article I came across yesterday that she, Rihanna, does plan on getting married to ASAP. So that's dope. That's what's up. But the crazy shit, the reason why I only bring that back up is because I don't know what's going on with Drake, but this nigga is getting flamed. Through social media, through memes and all kind of shit. Niggas are saying, matter of fact, they got the the meme they show the most. Well, that's not even a meme, quite frankly. It's an actual fucking picture. But you know, they make that shit into a meme with their little, you know, comments and shit like that. But apparently the nigga was at a game, a basketball game, and he looked in his phone and the nigga face looked like he had the shit face, like, man. Most people are saying his face looks like that because when he looked in his phone, he got the news that we got that Rihanna's pregnant. And I don't understand why he would be salty. Like, you know, even if that was somebody you dated, liked, whatever the situation is, like, you got love for niggas, you want them to be happy. You gotta pay attention when you happy and niggas is mad that you are happy without them, so now they ain't. Like, that's weird, my nigga, because when you really got love for a nigga, even if you wanted them to be with you and it don't work out, you still want, you see the happiness in them, and that alone should make you happy. But a lot of niggas don't be really happy for you. That's where that come from. You get to see it. But apparently this nigga unfollowed her, unfollowed ASAP Rocky. Like, what's up with you, slime? That's some real female shit. I'm just saying, real emotional. But moving along, the media, if I had to describe it, I would say the media is having a midlife crisis. And I say that because there's so much mess. When isn't it mess, right? But it's like really super duper messy. Like, you can't even, it's so much mess, Mr. Clean can't get this shit clean. Like, it's Mr. Clean gonna need some reinforcements. This is nasty out here. I think what I first want to touch bases on is a controversial interview that was done. And I'm not even sure if I'm saying this young lady's name. Young lady. I'm saying young lady and she older than me. Damn it. That's the old soul in me talking. This woman, what's her name? Thondi Newton? I think that's how you say this shit. I'm probably fucking her name all the way up. You know what I'm saying? And that's not on purpose. Like, so apologies in advance. But y'all know the fuck I'm talking about, all right? Newton! That's not what's important, right? I'm trying to get her name right because you know, I'm a stickler for my name. When I'm at work, I hate when motherfuckers spell Nicole without the H. That's a short way for me to really, like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't assume all Nicole's is spelled N-I-C-O-L-E, nigga. I'm different. I got an H in my shit, right? This woman, and it's ironic because I really just spoke about this not so long ago. Well, I tweeted it on Twitter about the colorism that still coexists in media in Hollywood and things of that sort. And I think a lot of times we try, as a society, we try to, like, put things and push it under the rug and pretend that if we do not look at it, it's not there. And it fucking is, my nigga. I don't care how many sunglasses you put on. It didn't disappear. It didn't poof, be gone. It doesn't do that. But I can see a lot of people in this world wish that things would just do that. But this woman had an interview and where she did something outrageous. Like, and I'm not quite sure how to take her delivery of what she was discussing on the sincerity behind what was done on her end, but I'm gonna give it to y'all. Real raw and uncut. This woman, I think she originally did the interview with Essence. I could be mistaken, but I'm feeling like it was Essence. Regardless of who she did the interview with, this woman goes and she starts discussing about her feelings when it relates to colorism in film. And I think for that, I am appreciative that she brought an awareness and didn't pretend to act like most people, like it doesn't exist. Considering she is a fair-skinned black woman, in a sense. I believe she's mixed, though. But either way, right? She did bring attention to a very sensitive topic. However, what happened after that got real cringy, my nigga. Like, and this is what happens when people try to use a situation or disparity and then try to identify with it but really can't, and then try to apologize by making it about them again. This was very egotistical. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to just be honest. Like, because you took a situation and tried to capitalize off of it in a very nasty, disgusting way. She tried to bring, or I guess she can't even say try because she did. She mentioned some kind of internal prejudice that she was experiencing when it comes to darker-skinned women and their role in films. And she just went off the deep end and started crying and talking some crazy shit. You guys, let me let y'all hear this shit real quick.
So, I put it on your truck yesterday.
I now realize that my internalized prejudice was stopping me from feeling like I could play this role, when it's precisely that prejudice that I've received. It doesn't matter that it's from African-American women more than anyone else. It doesn't matter. I received prejudice. Anyone who's received oppression and prejudice feels this character. I've wanted so desperately to apologize every day to darker-skinned actresses, to say, I'm sorry that I'm the one chosen. My mama looks like you. It's been very painful to have women that look like my mum feel like I'm not representing them, that I'm taking from them, taking their men, taking their work, taking their truth. But
we're going to stop right there. I don't think, and as being a dark-skinned sister, I don't think that's the issue here, bitch. You, whatever men you have, I don't think my dark-skinned sisters in attendance is concerned about who's like laying pipe to you, shorty. It's bigger than that. You know what I'm saying? So that's really disgusting that you really tried to whitewash the real importance of colorism and then still, like a privileged person, try to play the victim and bring it back and make it about you. I'm going to just call it what it is. Because the topic in itself definitely deserves to be dissected and discussed and how would you say it, spirit? Like, it definitely needs to be analyzed as to why these type of things keep occurring. Why is colorism still so prevalent, right, in this world? But somehow this woman went and started talking about shit that to me was self-loathing and narcissistic as fuck and self-seeking, like very self-serving as well. Like, I can't take you seriously in the approach that you presented colorism in. Like, I just can't. It was actually I find it disrespectful. Because the problem is bigger than you feeling like
you took our man and you took our, like, where the fuck is all of that coming from, shorty? Like, did you do something personally to a specific, because to me, it sounds like this was some kind of confession, right? That's how I took it. Like, you look and feel guilty about something you did or have been doing for probably a period, a long period of your career. And I don't know, you know, this is 2022. I keep giving it to you raw and uncut. This is the year of authenticity, or this is the year of factual situations. Ain't no more bullshitting the bullshitter. You understand? Like, you cannot rock with that. And if you try, you're going to get exposed. Any way you try to get around it, you try to live in a limelight that's not truth, or your intentions are set to be misleading, you're going to make yourself look crazy out here. And that's just a Snapple fact. Like, so a lot of people reacted to this entire interview with a feeling of confusion, if you will. Like, what the fuck, bitch? We don't understand why you breaking down in an interview or in a recording or whatever, in which you feel like you need to apologize to us because you're biracial, you're British and Black and African, and you're now at this point in your career feeling like apologizing for taking more role or for getting more roles, or like she said, I'm sorry for being chosen. That in itself is very narcissistic, bitch. Like, I don't know who you think is hearing you, but I hear you. And it's like, to be honest, you throwing jabs. Just call it what it is. Like, you can't say you sorry, and your delivery and how you saying you sorry doesn't really seem apologetic. You know what I'm saying? It blurs the lines. That's why I said self-serving. Your approach was very self-serving. Because if you genuinely felt the way you did, you should have been able to articulate the colorism that occurs in Hollywood in a more profound way than what you did. You really made it all about you. And then the way that you brought it up, like, oh, my mama look like you. Wait, what? That, you know what? That line right there said everything for me. I don't know about y'all, if y'all heard it, but when you make those type of references, it's like being around a white person and they say some old racist shit out to their mouth, and then when you check them, they, oh, I have Black friends. I have two Black friends. That type of shit. That's exactly what she did. Like, wait, what? If you really was that concerned about the lack of opportunities that darker-skinned women receive in film, you would have addressed it a lot sooner, and you would have made a way for those things, you know, however you could, but you would have put an initiative in to not have those things happen as much if you could, or maybe even gave up roles to darker skin. You can't sit here on a platform and play this, oh my God. You know, it's like you want to play the victim, but then you want to throw shots at the same time too. And I don't respect that. I definitely don't. Like, you're trying to seek sympathy because you're light-skinned. Like, in itself, the whole interview is privileged to me, entitled. Like, and you want to, it's like going, it's like a person who picks and choose when they want to acknowledge, if you're biracial, you want to pick and choose when you want to acknowledge your Black side. So when it fits a situation for you to gain prestige, yeah, I'm Black, but you know, we ain't really highlighting that. But when people call you out on your shit, now you want to do stuff like this. You know, my mama Black, like, my mama look like y'all. Your mama don't look like me. So that comment in itself was like, shorty, you reaching. Like, what are we doing here? Shorty said, I just thank God that my light skin didn't stop that from happening, and hope that it doesn't cause more pain. What the fuck, shorty? You are fucking clueless. Like, they're gonna cancel you. I don't know if she really understood the effects of what she said or if she took notice prior to her opening her mouth, the cause and effect of what she was going to say, but it went real left. Let me let y'all hear the rest of this shit.
But I do think that any women of color who, whether they're pale or whatever, who've managed to help other actors, you know, get into this business, we matter. Whenever they say that black women have watched the movie, and it's really, really, really mattered to them. I just thank God that my light skin didn't stop that from happening. I'm so that it didn't cause more pain.
Bitch, are you serious right now? My nigga, if you was really concerned about the disparities that happen with dark-skinned women, you would not have to even keep referring to your light skin and then making it about your light skin complexion and then apologizing for receiving what you refer to as more opportunities because of your light skin. Like, this whole shit was nasty. It was very narcissistic. Very ego driven. I don't give a fuck about the tears. Karmics cry all the time, shorty. This shit hit different from me because maybe I'm African American and I'm a dark skinned woman. And I can tell you from my experience, not nobody else's, that colorism still plays a very big factor in society. It is a lot of things that I did not, opportunities I did not receive. And it wasn't based on the fact that I wasn't qualified for them. You understand where I'm going with this shit? And there's a lot of models, actresses, writers, entertainers that don't get the same level of opportunities or exposure just because they're dark. Like, I don't know what it is about the world, but niggas don't like the dark. They can act like they do when it's time to look like, okay, we need to be on the same side with niggas, or they don't want to feel like they're eliminated out of being quote black, like, you know. So now we gonna, no my nigga, I'm not okay with that, and I definitely was not okay with this interview. Clearly she has no cultural sensitivity. You're not the first light-skinned actress, you know what I'm saying? Like, cut it out, ma. Please don't make it all about you. And when you seek for attention in a weird fucking way, you're going to get that attention. You're going to get exactly what the universe serving. And we don't believe you. So, yeah. That whole part. I just think it was bad form. Very bad form on her end to make it about her being light. And then try to act, pacify it as if you're really that concerned about dark-skinned women. But instead of highlighting why dark-skinned women should be given more roles, or why you've noticed in Hollywood you are getting roles that they're not getting, you chose to remind us that you are chosen, and you have our men, and you get the roles or the opportunities first, and my nigga, this whole situation going really bite her in the ass. And I predict that it's not going to go too well for her in terms of fans and feedback. You know what I'm saying? Because the shit was real narcissistic. Thank you, spirit. You see that? You heard that? That's confirmation, niggas. See? Even the universe agrees with me. Moving forward, though. So I don't know if I touched on this or not, because most times, y'all, I do these segments and I'm one of those that I put stuff out and I don't really go back and listen to it, right? I don't know why I do that, but whenever I only do that for this, like for writing and for the books and stuff like that, my poems, I go back, of course, because I have to edit a lot. But when I do this, y'all, it's freelancing, give it to you how I give it to you, and that's it and that's all, right? So I'm not sure if I spoke to you guys about this already, but I'm gonna speak to you about it now. If I did, okay, well, hear it twice, right? If I didn't, well, here it is, right? Make no mistake about it. If you're listening to me and you've been listening to me and rocking with me for a minute, you know firsthand how much I love. Emphasis on love battle rap. I'm a lover of music, point blank, simple, right? Point blank, simple. I love various genres of music, but you know, hip hop is very dear to my heart, right? So you have battle rap, and I've been fucking with the battle rap community, I want to say, since about 2010, if I'm not mistaken, 2010, 2011 type shit. And I'll never forget the first time I saw a battle rap. It was on Grind Time, and I fell in love with it instantaneously. Shout out to Dumbfounded, because that was actually one of the first battle rappers I heard and was like, oh, this nigga's hilarious. I don't know if he still lives out there, but he was from L.A., and between him and Thesaurus, I was battle rap became soap operas for me. And as I was binge watching some battles, I came across Queen of the Ring. And I'm so glad that I did, right? So, Remy Ma, shout out to the BX all day. Shout out to Remy. Remy has created her own female battle rap league, and I think that's dope, right? Super dope. So round of applause for that. We always need, you know, more than less, right? Y'all should know firsthand, because when it comes to the men, there's several different leagues in battle rap. You know, I'm just to name a few: URL, KOTD, Rare Breed, right? RBE. But there's others as well. And shout out to the ones that I have not mentioned, right? All Love. But there is a lot of battle rap leagues for men. When it comes to the females, there isn't. So I was very excited that another female battle rap league was being established. My issue came when I realized there was no, like, y'all know how big I am on homage and recognition. When I started noticing the exposure that Remy's new league is gaining, but there's a lack of notoriety or a lack of homage given to the original female battle rap league. And when I hear Remy speak about, you know, all female battle rap league, it throws me off, like if she's presenting this concept as if she's the first to have done this. So I think that's where it gets jaded for me. Like, I'm totally in agreement with there being multiple leagues for females. We definitely need a way to be heard. We're just as talented as the men. And like I said, we didn't really have as many varieties than the men do when it comes to the battle rap leagues. But now that Remy has created hers, I think it's Chrome 23, something like that. I have mixed feelings. I'm glad that it's been created. I'm glad that people are finally, and I say finally, because people wasn't really fucking with battle rap like that. It's amazing to me how many people do now. I know who was there and who wasn't, or who's been a part of the movement and who wasn't. Like, nigga, I've been here, been a part of this movement since Smack was in nigga stores and shit. Since it was the Lion's Den type of energy. Smack DVD type of days, and you know what I'm saying? I've been rocking since then. When you create something and you're not the originator of it, I think it's only right that you give recognition and homage to those that came before you. Because if it wasn't them, then where would you be inspired? You understand, to have what you have. And I'm not seeing that right now. And I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. Why are we not discussing Queen of the Ring? Like, the battle rappers that's on Remy League, or that will be performing, I should say, on her platform, all of them came from Queen of the Ring. So it's weird if you, like, just leave them completely out. Don't have no mention of them. Don't talk about them when you got your whole roster right now is from Queen of the Ring. How do you do that? Like, how do you present your platform to the world and kind of dismiss that there was as far as I know, still is a female battle rap league that existed before you decided to get into this arena. I'm curious how you do that, and I think it's kind of disrespectful, honestly. No shade. Like, I'm just keeping it all the way at all from my perspective. To come and start something that was already started and then, you know, push it out like if you're doing something that was not already done is kind of weird for me. Yes, I can see she has the pull and resources to get it to a higher plateau. You ain't never see. I mean, anytime you on TMZ discussing battle rap, female battle rap or male, you on TMZ discussing it, it definitely does show the influence that you made, or the connections, I should say, that you seem to have. But it goes against gratitude and homage when you just refuse to acknowledge the truth of the matter, that like Queen of the Ring was first. Like, my nigga, the least you could have did was that. I would have respected it more if she, you know what I'm saying, as she's promoting her league, she indicates, you know, where these women came from and indicate the original female battle rap league. I mean, this league, Queen of the Ring, has been out. Y'all heard me? How many fucking battles have I critiqued and gave y'all from Queen of the Ring? These people been doing this shit for 11 years. It's like you stepping on niggas' toes type shit. And when they and don't get me wrong, there's multiple things in this world. Like I always tell y'all, you go to the supermarket, you see different types of cereals and shit. You have a variety, and that's what you need. That's what the people should have, choices. But you don't create a cereal and act like you the first nigga that created cereal type shit. Like when we sitting here knowing we was eating Apple Jacks before you even came into the whole cereal business. Like that's kind of iffy for me. And I don't know if people made mention of this already, but I definitely seen some responses from Remy and where she looks like she's addressing maybe the things that I'm already discussing to you guys about in a way like, oh, if you feel some sort of way, you could donate. My nigga, this is a fan-based sport, you know what I'm saying? And I'm talking to the real fans that been 10 toes down in battle rap, to the real battle rap females who have blood, sweat, and tears, put their heart and passion into this craft. Money is not, it's not even all about that, because many people have donated and assisted and helping battle rap get to where it's at right now. And I'm saying, it's just the loyalty. Where's the integrity behind this? I'm glad to see more female. I hope somebody else come out with a female fucking battle rap league. Like, you know what I'm saying? More exposure is good for this sport. But you know what I'm saying? Where's the integrity on how you present what you're doing? That's all I'm saying. Like, it comes off real weird. It comes off to me as a fucking veteran fan. Like, you just want all the recognition. Like, if you just started this and you doing this and look what I'm doing. It seems very self-serving. When niggas know that your whole roster came from the people that you're not even acknowledging. How you do that? I could see, too, if she had, like, other people lined up that ain't never been on Queen of the Ring. Like, just brand new people. This is the first time we hearing about them ever. And I'm pretty sure at some point, that's where it's going to lead. In my opinion, you should have did that first. But when you just take a whole roster from a whole nother league and put them on your new established league, and then don't even discuss when you mentioning yours, you know, how you even probably got inspired to do what you're doing, because it can't just be some smack. Because then you would have had a male battle rap league. Like, shout out to Babs, Debo, and Vague. Like, this is what they did for 11 years, my nigga. I watched them. I paid money. Went to events, my niggas. A couple of battle rap females that I know personally. Shout out to the ones I know and the ones that I don't know. It's all love from Cole, because I really respect what y'all do. Why? Because that's real lyricism. You've heard me say this many a times on how I feel about industry rap and battle rap. It's definitely never the same. I think battle rap is a more intense level of lyricism because of the way you have to present your craft. You know what I'm saying? You don't got time. And most people do. All right, you come into the round with writtens or whatever. But You have the rebuttals, you know what I'm saying? You have the, and I'm not gonna sit here and break down all the fundamentals of battle rap lyricism because I've done that already. I've told y'all about the similes, I told y'all about the punches and all of that and the different parts of speeches that people incorporate in their bars, but and how they're so unique in their deliveries, right? I'm just not really okay with us just leaving Queen of the Ring out of, you know, the limelight or not paying homage to the originators. Because that's the originators of female battle rap. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to anybody that comes after them and take it further. But don't just dismiss them. Like, I got weird mixed feelings about that. So I don't know how y'all feeling about that. And this ain't no shot at Remy or nothing like that. I'm a real bitch all day. Like, I'm not on nobody's payroll, so I call it the way I see it type shit. You know what I'm saying? Hope niggas don't take it personal. If they do, hey, opinions are like assholes, right? Everyone's got one. Some stink and some shit, you know, it's clean. I'm gonna talk my talk. As a fan, I'm a fan, nigga. I don't respect it, how it's being done. It was a better way. It could have been done better, or the delivery could have been done better when promoting this league. So I hope at some point niggas start, you know, recognizing who the pioneers of female battle rap really is, because you're gonna have a generation of people who are, especially females, who get exposed to this new league and be convinced that Remy started this wave. And she might have started her battle rap league, but she ain't start the wave. Like, the wave was already started 11 years ago. So if you're going to do something that was already done, at least acknowledge the people that did it before you. That's all I'm saying. Like, don't leave them niggas out. That's whack. That's dead whack. Sorry, but not sorry. Moving along, though. Yeah. Power, you guys. If you're not watching Power, I don't know what you're watching. I'm going to just say, if you are not watching Power, I don't know what you're watching. And you know I keeps it all the way a buck because, you know what I'm saying? I ain't no real Curtis Jackson fan, but I'm so official tissue that if it's right, it's right. I give niggas they flowers when they deserve them. And he and Courtney definitely deserve their flowers for a phenomenal fucking show. Like, hands down, if you have not seen Power, I don't know what rock you're living under. To the 66 countries that fuck with your girl, 65 plus United States, y'all find a way to get the stars or something, my nigga. Like, request that shit in your country. Figure it out. I don't know. But you need to get tapped in. You really do. You really do. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I never forget the first time Power came on. Some many years ago. I want to say like not 10 or... How long has Power been out? Adore is 6? Wait, so more than 6 years. Yeah. Because I wasn't even pregnant with Adore yet. So yeah. Yeah. I've been fucking with the wave. We in the Ghost series now, and I'm gonna tell y'all niggas, this shit is so live. Like, again, I love Power so much despite, you know, the sensitive situations with some of the people involved with Power that, you know, yeah. But I ain't gonna take nothing from nobody. You know what I'm saying? If your shit is fire, it's fire. And it's fire. It's fire. 50 is fire, Courtney. These last couple of episodes been insane, my nigga. Been insane. I mean, Twitter just ripped to shreds the character of Zeke. Freaky Ziggy. You know, a couple of episodes, we find out Zeke ain't 19, nigga 23. Like, it's shit like that, that, you know, it's hilarious. And you got the memes that got the nigga looking like a big ass baby Huey in kindergarten. Like, it's moments like that. But overall, I mentioned this series to say that it's a very brilliant fucking series. I be sitting there watching this shit like, yo, I need a role in this shit. Because this shit looking like real niggas lives and shit. Like, I could play these roles, nigga, because this is life. Like, yeah, so, and all the actors and all the actresses are just fucking amazing. There are some scenes, though, that I definitely didn't understand. Like, the whole Tyreek giving Tate the actual original of that photo to help him with his trial. If it were me, knowing that Brandon told the nigga no, right? The homie told him he couldn't have it. And at some point, I'm quite certain they're gonna realize the family that shit is missing, which is gonna open up a whole nother can of worms with Brandon's father, because Brayden's father. Because Brayden's father's in that photo as well. It's just a lot going on right now, you guys. And I'm just super excited for the next episode. You got Tommy's series coming up, I think in February, the ending of February, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm excited about that. I think Tommy's going to Chicago. But if you haven't checked it out, you guys, like, you definitely need to check that out. It's super dope. And not for nothing, BMF is just as hard. Like, you know what I'm saying? This nigga's doing his thing right now when it comes to film or TV series or whatever category this shit is in, right? Because this ain't my lane. But he's definitely doing his thing, and I actually wish them so much more success. Like, if you ask me, I see Power being bigger than Law and Order. I'm dead serious. Like, I done tweeted it and all that. Like, if they keep this momentum up, this shit can be... Yeah, I already see it. If it's not already gotten there, it's getting there. This shit is so super dope. And I love to see Mary act. She's a beautiful actress. Like, she's Monet is so believable. Like, she really gets into character as Monet. This is not Meth's first time acting, but he definitely, if you didn't take him serious, you gotta take him serious now when it comes to his level of performance as an actor. Like, I'm so super proud of you, man. Like, I'm, Lorenz Tate, just everybody is just awesome. Like, it's really fucking awesome. So I ain't gonna stay too much on that, but I do want you guys to, you know, if you haven't looked at it yet, take a look at that shit. I guarantee you, you're gonna be hooked, nigga. You're gonna be hooked. I'm waiting for BMF to come back. I'm tight. There ain't no more snowfall. Like, yeah. We need more shows like this. Definitely, right? Definitely. All right, moving forward, though. Well, since we are on the Power topic, y'all know, shorty, that for those who watch Power, what's her name? Forgive me, sweetheart, because I don't even know off the top of my head. I'm smoking. Your character's name. But shorty that she goes by Light Skin Keisha, right? She's a rapper as well. And that I didn't know. I didn't even know that she rapped. Like, you know, I be out the loop sometimes. I'll be the first to tell you, like, I don't be knowing everything, nigga. I'm almost 40 years old. I don't have my ear plugged into everything. I got a 18-year-old, so she puts me on sometimes to things that I'm not even aware of. And apparently this young lady was on Love and Hip Hop at some point in her early career. But she's a great actress, and I did not know that shorty actually raps. Now, this is the thing. If you don't know who I'm talking about shorty that's in Tyreek class, the black young lady, the super thick chick. Like, and she has that persona like she's ghetto. Like, her character comes off like she's ghetto, but she's intelligent as fuck. And I really am glad that they incorporated a character like that, because far too often, us females from the hood that's still in the hood as considered ghetto, we get a bad rap. Like, why? Because we speak with slang, or we curse, or we have that kind of energy that's just urban, right? Hood, right? Why do y'all discount our intellect? You know what I'm saying? Look at me. I'm going to use me for an example. Like, nigga, I'm super hood. Like, this shit is not a game with me. It's really not a game. I don't claim that for no titles, publicity, exposure, and attention. Nigga, I claim it because that's who the fuck I am. If you know anybody that know me, and I'm not talking about met me in a year or two, I'm talking about knew me since late 90s type shit, they will tell you, like, nah, Cole is really fucking Cole. Some things I can't even talk about, but I was out there type shit. You heard? Come on, you guys. I lived in a group home for 5 years of my fucking life. However, be it as it may, I got 3 degrees, y'all. You know what I'm saying? This is the double standard. You got to break these stereotypes. Like, and I ain't just go to college and just graduate. Like, nigga, this is why I tell people, nigga, please pull up my transcript. I wish you would, nigga. Because both undergrad degrees, I graduated with honors, cum laude. That's saying something. You know what I'm saying? That's saying a lot. Being a single parent, in the hood still, working. Then when I got my master's, and I don't know if this is like this with all graduate schools, but I can vouch that for Monroe College, King's graduate program, yeah, you cannot get, at least at that time when I was in graduate school, I graduated in 2018, you couldn't even get anything less than a B, my nigga. The pressure, though. The pressure. So it's good to see us, and I say us because I am shorty. I am that character that she's portraying, light-skinned Keisha, in Power. That, so what, I'm hood, so what, I curse, so what, I dress like this, so what, I, all that. But guess what? My GPA is sick, my nigga. I didn't just graduate. Because anybody can go to college and get 70s and C's all day, and that's equivalent to graduate. You just gonna graduate as an average motherfucking student. But you finished and you did the work. You're a C student. But I didn't just want a degree. I wanted to graduate and graduate with honor. So when you see that MSCJ behind my name or my brand, that Master's of Science Criminal Justice, nigga, I earned that. You know what I'm saying? I earned that. And y'all know me. I'm still going with this education game. Like, I can't get enough knowledge. I can't. I love that shit. Still going for law school. That shit don't pan out. And I get tired of trying, and I don't know when that's gonna happen, but if I should get tired of trying, then I'm just going straight to PhD status. Yeah, but that's just me, you know? But shout out to Power, shout out to everybody who's affiliated with Power, and I wish y'all all the best of success. Y'all know Columbus Short, right? Yeah, this nigga is in some bullshit right now. He actually got arrested again. For felony domestic violence. What the fuck? Yeah, according to TMZ, your boy got arrested when cops were called to his home in San Fernando Valley. And this happened actually on Wednesday. There was an argument he was having between himself and his wife. And at some point, it got physical. When the cops came to his residence, Columbus indicated that his wife punched him in the face. But they stated, the cops that is, stated there was no visible marks. But then the cops spoke to the wife and they noticed that she actually had a minor injury. So I guess that was cause for them to arrest him because, because she had visible injuries. But if you didn't notice, this isn't the first time Columbus has had issues with his wife. So y'all should know who, if the name is throwing you off, just think, what's that movie? Damn, I got the brain fart this morning. What the fuck is that movie with him and Chris Brown? And he be in college and shit, stepping in all that. Which, by the way, is awesome. I used to be a stepper. Yo, as a kid, I did a lot of shit. But yeah, him. He was arrested in 2018 for the same shit, domestic violence. But he pleaded no contest. And I believe he served about 34 days behind bars. So when that happened, he was already on probation. And that was because of a bar fight that had happened in 2014. So I'm curious as to the follow-up on that and what's going to occur with this situation. You guys, you know, not to say that couples don't go through arguments. Shit happens. There's no perfect relationship. You know what I'm saying? But when it gets to the point niggas is putting hands on each other, this is a no. No, no. This is a definite no, no. I'm not a married woman yet. But you can rest assured, if me and my husband get into some shit, my nigga, I'm keeping my hands to myself. Not because I'm pussy, my nigga. Just because I don't want to give that nigga no justification or how you say, rationalize why this nigga put his hands on me. You know what I'm saying? My daddy taught me well. You don't put your hands on no nigga. He ain't touch you. Don't touch that nigga. He's still a man, my nigga. Like, and I think sometimes, in all fairness, women, we kind of abuse that. Not all, but far too many. We put ourselves in situations, or we're in situations, whether we put ourselves there or not, where we don't respect the boundaries of keeping your fucking hands to yourself. And then when you get popped upside the head, right? We're calling police, we're crying, we're that's not right what you did. And it's fucked up. Because if a man calls, like if a bitch punch him in his face all day long, right? And he called the cops on this bitch, it's the same kind of double standard with rape. Like, facts is facts. The police don't really take that shit too serious. Like, what's the, how many women have you heard getting arrested in a domestic violence call versus the men getting arrested in a domestic violence call? Like, regardless of who did what first, most times the man is always removed out the house. And I gotta keep it, like, and I'm a whole female and I'm telling you this, I've seen it. And not to take away from the fact that there's a lot of men that beat on women, and it's fucked up. Nobody should be putting their hands on nobody. When it gets to the point where you got to be physical with a nigga, you need to leave, nigga. Both parties. But there's definitely a double standard when it comes to domestic violence and how sometimes I believe women initiate the domestic violence that occurs in their house. Well, regardless of who hit who first type shit, nobody should be hitting fucking nobody. You know what I'm saying? Keep your motherfucking hands to yourself. Why the fuck you can't just verbalize how you feel, nigga? Vocalize how you feel and leave it at that. Because when you put your hands on somebody, expect to get hit back type shit. Like, that's just a... I'm glad I don't have a son, because I would hate for my son to have to be in that awkward situation where a bitch hit him. Am I supposed to just tell my son to keep taking that shit, walk away, and which naturally us women would tell our sons to do that. But what happens when he don't walk away and the bitch is walking behind him type shit? You know, antagonizing him. You know what I'm saying? Pushing on him. What you gonna do, nigga, huh? What you gonna do? And the nigga turn around and I call the motherfucking cops. You know you on parole, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Don't act like women. Let's be real. Y'all might not be doing it, my listeners, right? But let's not act like you don't know a bitch that move like that. And it's fucked up. It's really fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Keep your hands to your motherfucking selves, people. Keep your hands to your motherfucking selves. That's my advice. And then you won't have to worry about cops being called and niggas being removed and going to jail. Simple as that. I hope to get married one day. I hope to never have to experience that. But if me and my counterpart get into an argument, well, my husband should know how I am anyway. So that nigga ain't putting his hands on me. And I pretty much know my husband, or will know my husband better. And I'm not going to be doing none of that. Like, there's no cause to be putting your hands on any fucking body. That's just my theory on that. Because I'm going to tell you now, I don't give a fuck who you are. You put your hands on Cole. That might be the last time you raise a hand, nigga. I'm not with the shit. I don't play domestic violent games. I don't play victim, nigga. I don't like none of them situations. If you put me in that situation, I honestly can't tell you how that's going to go. Word up. Because if you try me, my nigga, you won't try nobody else. And I'm going to leave that at that. Yeah, we don't play that shit over here. Ain't no hitting me, nigga. What? Are you crazy? Yeah, nigga, you bugging. Moving along. So, yeah, you know, the hate still coming. Got some weird-ass coven, witch coven bitches. making me to do with the aim of their day and shit. These bitches, this is crazy. I don't know why people even try it with me when they know it's not me you coming up against. My nigga, I keep to myself. I'm low riding. I'm Co is cool. Calm, cool, and collected. And then it be just people, for whatever reason, that hate on your girl. And whatever, it is what it is, right? I don't concentrate on the hate. You know what I'm saying? But when you start going out your way to do weird shit like follow my pages and pretending to be other people and masking your pages as other readers, because like right now, y'all already know who I am. The tarot community is, this shit is like a haunted house right now. It's way too many people in the tarot community that should not even be there. doing a lot of fuck shit with spirituality, tainting it. And I'm definitely aware of the balance where there's good, there's bad, you know? But you got people who are reaching like a motherfucker. They reaching. And then I don't think they seem to understand how this shit go when it comes to the universe and the almighty. You cannot do shit. I mean, you can do, let me put it like this. It isn't wise to come against a divine being, right? And when I say divine, I mean somebody who is divine, not by titles, because that's another thing. I'm so sick of all you bitches being queens and empresses and none of y'all executing that in action. Because anybody could call themselves anything. I could say I'm a motherfucking bird or a plane and whatever the fuck I want to say. Inanimate object. I said I am, right? Doesn't make it so. Y'all don't understand. And I'm really touching on this really quickly. To the women out here who are obsessed with titles and obsessed with this whole queen acknowledgement, it's more to being a queen than just saying you're a fucking queen, all right? It's a energy. It's a level of morality and integrity that you have. You cannot, I mean, and again, you can call yourself whatever the fuck you want, but I ain't taking you serious if you're referring to yourself as a queen and you out here dying and projecting low vibrational shit, and you want me to still refer to you as a queen and you moving like a concubine? Like, I don't know where they do that at, but not in my queendom. We don't accept that as royal at all. Another thing I want to indicate is being an empress or queen or emperor or king is not based or defined by some form of 3D stature or status. These roles have nothing to do with money, fame, popularity, success. It has nothing to do with that. It's all soul. The only thing that's considered when these titles are really given to people is where's your soul at, though? You dig what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck who you are, where you went, how much money you got, who knows you, who don't know you. The universe does not look at shit like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't look at things the way we as humans look at things because we're flawed. So naturally, we're going to look at things in a flawed perspective, many of us. You're not a queen just because you say you're a queen. You're a queen because you are a leader. And you're a leader in how you present yourself first. And then yourself to the people. Like, I can't call myself a fucking queen if I know my influence is participating in the destruction of my people. Like, where they do that at? How am I a queen when I'm out here advocating low vibrational shit? That doesn't mean everybody has to, you know, kumbaya, sit around it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you cannot fool people into believing you're something that you're not even executing in your performance. And it shouldn't be like you acting this way. It's supposed to be natural, my nigga. If you are who you say you are, any day of the week I catch you, you're going to be that person. If you got to psych yourself up or you got to get into roles and shit or adapt to personalities to become who you trying to say you are, then nigga, it ain't real. Get out of here. I am an empress, and it's not because I give myself that title. It's because the universe gave me that title. Empresses and emperors, we're embodied in that energy because of the frequency that we maintain. It's a frequency, nigga. It's a lifestyle. It's you've had to experience a level of situations back against the wall, like through the mud, like there's circumstantial situations that you go through, that you get through, that gives you empress status. You know what I'm saying? It's not all about just, oh, empress sounds prestigious. It sounds regal. It sounds royal. That's who I am. Because when you do that, the universe gets mad and then they check you. Oh, who told you was a queen and empress? We didn't tell you that. Oh, that's what you running with? There go that karma. Then they start making shit happen in your life. That's fucked up. And you standing there trying to figure out, why is this happening to me? Because you said you was something that you're not. You're not being authentic. You can always get to queen status, but if you gonna take the title and not do the work for how you even claim the title, then it's false. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous, my nigga. To project as something that you not just because it looks good or it sounds good or it's popular and it's trending. But nonetheless, the tarot community is just disgusting right now. And this is why a lot of people always ask me, well, Cole, why you don't, and I've told you guys this, why you don't be on YouTube? Because YouTube got too many agents. As a matter of fact, speaking of agents, I got motherfuckers, like my circle is limited. I ain't got a bunch of thousands of followers following me. Y'all know how I do. Like, it's quality over quantity all day with me. You know what I'm saying? I got motherfuckers who make up pages, or they send motherfuckers who don't like me, they send their agents to follow me type shit and try to add me and look at what I'm doing. Like, my nigga, I'm a whole high priestess. You don't realize I see you before you came type shit. And once you come, my nigga, that's dangerous for you, because these niggas that fuck with me, my spirit goons, they gonna get your ass for even coming this way. I'm telling you now, this is why I put out disclaimers and warnings for niggas. Like, you ain't gotta like Cole, but I promise you, it is not good for you to project anything negative my way. Don't do it. And don't do it to any divine person. Don't do it to anybody, period. That's nasty karma, my nigga. People wonder, a lot of people going through shit and niggas like to be like, oh, well, they going through it because, you know, they going through a rough time. Nah, nigga, they going through shit because it's judgment day, nigga. They got to pay the piper. We all go through something, but some people go through shit that's a little like, what the fuck is going on here? And it's not coincidental. Please understand, nothing in life is coincidental. Nothing. That's why when I touch on topics, it's for a reason. I'm saying, especially me. Look, little old me, prior to me even doing this, like, you know how many people have tried or has tapped into my energy and tried to be me or play me as them and pass it off like that's them? You can't do that, my nigga. You cannot. We are individuals here, and that's whack. If you are doing that, be yourself, because there is nobody walking this green earth, as above or below, that can be me other than fucking me. It's impossible. You can take little snippets of me, but you're gonna get exposed for being me. Because I was me before you decided to try to be me type shit. And that goes for anybody who's out here mirroring other people, stealing their creativity, taking from them because you got a higher platform and the person you stealing from is not known. So you figure, shit, if I steal their ideas and I push them as mine, who's going to know? Because they're nobody. You're wild, and that's dangerous. God sees everything. He know who they are. Those are his chosen ones. Y'all better be careful too. A lot of y'all out here projecting y'all chosen ones. Y'all don't know what chosen ones go through. Real fact. And when you pretend that you are one, then guess what? You'll end up going through everything. Maybe not the same way, but you will have to go through the hurdles and the trials and the tribulations that chosen people go through or went through before they elevated to empress and emperor status. And believe me, everybody is not an emperor. Everybody's not an empress. Everybody's not a king and a queen. My nigga, we have peasants. No disrespect, but we have peasants in other roles for a reason. And all these motherfucking chiefs and no Indians. Everybody want to be the boss. Huh? Not even understanding
in the spiritual world, in the spiritual warfare, y'all niggas ain't bosses. Y'all to help. You heard? But they find that out. Because the 3D don't work like the 5D. Like the 12D. It doesn't. And this is why I'm able to speak my truth. Because, like, this is not a facade. This is not, you know, some people do things for hype and publicity. My nigga, this is my life. I share my life with you. I'm very honest about who I am. I give no fucks on what people say about who I am, because I already know who I am. Like, so your interpretation of who you believe I am will never validate who I know I am, type shit. You dig? Yes. Like a fucking shovel. Mm. Well, you guys, I'm gonna leave it there. For now. For now. Definitely gotta go to service in a little while. And with that being said, I am going to say a prayer for all of you guys all over the world, all my listeners. I will be doing an intercessory prayer for you guys later this morning, wishing you joy in your life. You know what I'm saying? Because joy is more significant than happiness. Happiness is temporary. You understand? Most people are happy when they have a positive result to something or a positive outcome. But joy is when you can still maintain a level of bliss despite whatever the outcome is. So I don't aim for happiness. I maintain joy at all times, because happiness is, that shit is just, it's iffy. You could be happy today and sad tomorrow. But with joy, joy is, there is no expiration on joy. That shit goes with you no matter what the storm is. You still have a level of appreciation and gratitude. That's how you have joy. So you guys, I'm gonna leave it there, and we'll pick this shit up at a later date. I love you much, and yeah. Until next time. Later, you guys.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.